Hello all and welcome to The Cutting Edge. I'm Dr. Eric Moore, Deputy to the Commanding General. Here at the U.S. Army Combat Capabilities Development Command, also known affectionately as DEFCOM. Today we have a special guest in the studio with us, Major General John M. Cushing, Commanding General of DEFCOM. General Cushing, thank you for joining us today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
The cutting edge, huh?
Cool.
All right. And then, I'm absolutely excited to be here. When you told me that all the other folks that have joined you, I think that you've got a really good kind of representation in terms of what DEFCOM does. And then I appreciate you doing this in terms of selling and telling the DEFCOM story. I think that's important.
You know, sir, it's always a pleasure to be part of this command. And I go back to actually coming to visit you when you were still the deputy at USAREC.
That's right. I do remember that.
And we sat down and we talked about some things. And you later said, hey, so what do you do as a deputy? And I said, I'm trying to figure it out, just like you're probably going to figure out what the CG does.
Yep.
So we're going to actually get behind some of that inside baseball on that today.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I think about your tenure here, one question that I have, but what are some of the command-wide accomplishments that you're the proudest of as the commander of DEFCOM?
Yeah, that's a great question. I based on your earlier kind of, I thought you were going to go down the path of like, where did I begin? Where did I learn? And I do, now that you say that, I do remember sitting in the office and having that conversation about, you know, DEFCOM and you guys had done such an amazing job of transitioning me in terms of just learning a little bit of it. And I wasn't joking, you know, when I talked about the idea that having been an armor officer, served in obviously different capacities, I haven't dabbled in the acquisition world. So it was, stepping into this and learning about like the different funding streams and different things like that. It has been an amazing opportunity to kind of really, really expand kind of my brain and the way of thinking. As I look across the time that we've been here, you know, I would love to say that as an organization, I think we've done a very good job in terms of defining our priorities and where we're going. I am most proud in certain areas, but one in particular is the fact that, I only go on what history I hear, but I really love the fact that I think the directors really get along well. I love the fact that when I go and ask them what they're doing, they may not be upfront in terms of, hey, I know exactly what's going on, but then when I kind of peel it a couple layers down, it's not just the stovepipes of different centers and labs. We've got lots of people who are working across the centers and labs to really get at some of those solutions, you know, that the chief and others have asked us to do in terms of putting technologies in soldiers' hands. That's probably one of the biggest things that we did, and you know the deal. I mean, shoot, you helped me write it, but it's like you list out what your first 90-day assessment is, and you kind of play through that. And honestly, I haven't had the time recently just to go back to that to look at it to see kind of what we've all tackled, because I certainly couldn't have done it by myself. But based on the last 6 months, I'm also very proud of the fact that throughout time I've really tried to focus in on appreciating people.
Yes.
And so, like just like what we did a little bit earlier today, when we have those award ceremonies, we get a chance to recognize folks because there's so many amazing people in this organization, and just the ability to say thank you for what you do. And so, I've been really, really happy with the fact that hopefully I've been transparent with the workforce and basically said, hey, I want you to, you know, look at me. And I get it. I'm your boss, but I want you to also look at me and the fact that I'm a human being, and I try my best just like everybody else does. And so these last 6 months really just, you know, trying to lay the organization flat, trying to communicate what we know, because I know that there is, you know, again, if we're taking care of people, there's lots of concern as to what's going on, what the steps are. You know, unfortunately, you know, you look at some of the, whether it be social media or front news, front paper, all that, or, you know, front page papers and different like that. There's lots of stuff that seems to come out of there. So I think if I had to boil it down, like the two things that I've been really proud of was one is the relationship with the workforce in terms of knowing that I'm a human being and I'm trying to do my best to take care of you. And then the other one is just making sure that we're, again, providing the best technologies in the hands of soldiers on the timelines that we've been driven to, and making sure that across the labs, you know, everybody's on board with where we're going. I think those probably be the two areas that I think. I don't know if you can think of others that we've tackled or accomplished or whatnot.
You know, I'm supposed to be interviewing you, but I want to chime in on you in some areas that I've seen you do great in. And so you hit the first one. I always tell you, I say, sir, I think your superpower, your kung fu is strong when it comes to prioritizing people and treating people with dignity and respect. I give an example, and I always share this with you. When we do closeout at the end of the day, anyone in the room, it can be an intern, it can be somebody who's shadowing you or whatever. And you always go around the room and ask everyone, you know, you have anything to contribute? Hey, what's on your mind, et cetera, et cetera. I always appreciate that because oftentimes senior leaders don't do that. But, you know, I always say we're as strong as our weakest link or our youngest chain.
Sure.
Another area that I just have witnessed you push us in a direction. So are we there 100%? Not yet. But you had a strong emphasis on data-driven decision-making. Mm. And a lot of the work that we've done to actually bring in, you know, not only just Power BI tools, but other tools. And I know DAC has done a lot of work. In addition to them, even things like the work we're doing with generative AI and things like that. I mean, you've really been the catalyst to push us in that direction. So we're going to get better, but I just appreciate the efforts that you put into that.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, just like I've said from the get-go, you know, we say that if we want to really be the technology lead, then we've got to make sure that we're utilizing the technology that we're preaching about, right? So I just think that there is such a future when it comes to AI in terms of how that helps us make decisions. It doesn't need to make the decision for us, but needs to, you know, certainly inform us as we try to gather all the facts. And with all the data-driven stuff, you know, we've got plenty of ways to, like, show the data. But I'm just like we discussed multiple times, it's like I want people to get out of the spreadsheet mode.
Yes.
And especially if we got so many powerful people and so many talented people that can bring that data to life and then really, like, make sure that you and I as decision makers are well aware of what's impacting that decision. So, no, that's another one. That's a good point.
I love it. So, and I told you, I said, when we first started, you said, well, I thought you were going to walk down a certain path. We're going to get back to that path. But, you know, one question that I have for you is, what have you learned about DEFCON that has surprised you the most since you first took command on September 7th, 2023?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what surprised me is almost like every single day, right? So from the get-go and honestly having no knowledge of the workforce, the one area that I've just been completely amazed with is one, it's just the quality of the civilian workforce has just been simply amazing. I mean, I've worked with civilians before, and there's certainly been superstars that I've come in contact with. But as a whole, the organization is just so amazing. And it's like spending, like today I went and spent time with DAC at one of their innovation exercises where they're showing new innovation. And you listen to people talk about what they do. And the passion of and what they say, the depth of knowledge that they have on it and how excited they are about it, it's just that can't help, you know, you can't help yourself but getting excited for them as they're talking about it. You know, it's just you watch their eyes light up and they're excited to tell you about it. And I think that I had underestimated, like, really truly the power of DEVCOM and everything that it does. I have multiple examples of folks that have just awed me in terms of, like, you walk away and, you know, you kind of get the proud papa feeling of, man, this is an amazing organization. They're so, so talented. And as you know, my biggest struggle in some cases has been how do I show people that? How do I, you know, demonstrate that? Or who do I tell? Because you just want to walk out of some of these exercises and be like, hey, we got this, right? This is what I need to tell somebody, everything that we've got going on. And honestly, you know, as the chief of staff in the Army and other senior leaders talk about the technologies, in many cases, I'm also going back and saying, I've got folks that are working on that. And I want to highlight that. And I've struggled with how to get that, you know, out to the senior leaders. And that's why we went down the Ready Now Technologies effort. And that's honestly why we're trying to figure out how do we become a little bit more, well, a lot more involved with the TIC brigades and a lot of the chief of staff of the Army efforts. So it's like, hey, I'm doubling down in terms of how I can provide more assistance to get after what the chief wants.
No, I appreciate that. And I'm going to give you an opportunity, you know, being a former Ken Biles Center director, just the reflection that you had when you met the PhD in smoke.
Yeah, Danielle Kuhn.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing, right? So that was so very early on, visiting the centers and labs. I spent time with her, and she, again, you meet her. If when you meet her, she just oozes enthusiasm, and she is so excited about what she's doing, and. You know, we spent probably a couple hours talking about like smoke, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, I'm spending this much time talking about smoke. But then when she starts to break it down in terms of what it's really all about, it's just a whole new conversation. It's not just as simple as, hey, drop artillery there, which way is the wind blowing, and making sure that your move's covered. She goes into discussing molecules and this and that, and it's just like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, when she really takes it to the next step and says, hey, we're really trying to figure out how do we, you know, organize this so the enemy, you know, we prevent the enemy from transmitting through the smoke, seeing through the smoke. And you're just thinking, this individual, just like so many others in this formation, is thinking at that next level. They're not even, you know, that they're taking this much beyond what the, you know, the initial thought would be. And so, yeah, she's, again, one of many, many people that I've come across that is just, oh my gosh, you listen to them and you just, I joke with many folks and I'll say, well, I understood what you said when you said your name, said, hi, my name is, and I understood when you asked if I had any questions and everything in between, I'm trying to hang on for the ride, right? So it's been great.
You know, I was thinking the same thing recently. I was had previously met with some of the C5ISR folks doing electronic warfare, some of the ARL folks that are doing AI work, starting to create it with OpenAI potentially, and just seeing the depth and the knowledge of folks, it blows you away. Kind of along those lines, when we think about the future, and you think about the future of DEFCON as it relates to continuous transformation and how we empower the soldier, any thoughts in that?
Yeah, I think up front, I think we have to remember kind of what DEVCOM does, what role we play in terms of the 6-1 to 6-3 environment. You know, we're not the one who necessarily is going to mass produce lots of products. So I do think we have to remain true to our roots and understanding that, hey, we are working in some cases in the 6-1 world where we're working on deep cutting stuff that is far reaching, and I don't want to get away from that. Having said that, we all have bosses, and the chief of staff is obviously pretty adamant about, hey, I want to get technology in the hands of soldiers and go from there. So I think that if I could be as bold to say that we do have lots of what I would say is ready now technologies, those technologies that we've seen through the 6-1 through 6-3 process that honestly is going to answer some of the needs that our Army has. So we've got to be prepared to be able to allow different, tick brigades, tick units to test that out. And then certainly get the feedback and then work it through the system to make sure that we can, how do we work with industry and others to really build upon what we've done and then get it in the hands of soldiers quicker. I also think that we, you know, as part of everything that's going on, I would love for the chief and others to come back to DEVCOM and let us be, I mean, we are a, you know, we're not working for a profit. We work for the United States Army. So why not utilize us in a capacity of almost being an honest broker to check kind of the technologies that are out there. Because there's lots of industries that are, you know, now have caught on and they're going to start to corner lots of different people saying, hey, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. Why not look to DEVCOM with kind of our ability to look at it from that, you know, from the military perspective to be able to, you know, kind of help kind of rack and stack who those partners are that are out there that I think can do great and wonderful things. And then once we've identified those industry partners, then we're just like we're doing now, which isn't talked about very often, team up with those industries and then provide them our thoughts and guidance as they go through this stuff. That's really where I think that, you know, we can best promote this is like, hey, we gotta get in with industry. We got to make sure that they're producing, you know, because they're going to move fast. We've just got to be in on those small teams to kind of help them. And then in some cases, you know, there's going to be stuff that industry is going to turn around and say, well, I don't have the capital nor the time and energy to mess with this. That's where we got to pick up the slack in terms of, okay, industry's not messing with this, but we have people that whose kung fu is strong. They need to dive on this thing and keep rolling. So
I love it. And if I might, I have a question about, you know, last I checked, I don't know exactly how many soldiers we have in the command, somewhere around 141 or so.
Right.
Small but mighty team. And, you know, a lot of the civilians look to our Army leaders to help us integrate, but also they look to Army leaders, Army soldiers, Army officers as leaders. But when you think about those soldiers that work in the command, how do you see them kind of enabling us in some of those missions?
Well, I think that the soldier, one, provides a linkage back to units, right? So they should be able to open doors for our scientists and engineers to be able to get into units, to be able to, you know, spend the time with through their relationships to kind of garner from them what do they need. I also think, you know, if I kind of separate it from there, is that as we're working on different things, we ought to be using the green suitors to say, hey, we're working on said project. We need your input. And so if they don't have that input, they ought to be able to go back to their units to bring that type of input and provide it. You know, I'll be the first to admit that, you know, when I was in force comm units and people would say, hey, we need a platoon to go test this new equipment, you're always thinking, oh, this is a distraction. You know, it's going to take away from what I got to do. I got so much other stuff. Now I get it, right? Now I'm like, oh my gosh, the role that those soldiers play is critical in terms of providing that feedback. So I think that the soldiers that are here ought to take on the same idea. Hey, I'm here to be, you know, a second set of ears, a second set of eyes, because I'm gonna kind of take all of your scientific and engineer speak, and I'm gonna be able to kind of, you know, boil it down and articulate exactly what you're doing. So, yeah, we might only have 140. I think we might have doubled that with the addition of AI2C.
Okay.
We've got to lean on them to assist us through that.
I forgot about that. You're right. We did add AI2C to our formation now, so yeah. We got more soldiers.
Yeah, and we're talking like AI2C. You're talking like the next generation of data scientists, right? I mean, we're talking AI stuff and all that. And I've had back briefs from some of them and some of the projects that they're doing. It's just like, again, oh my goodness. I have enough trouble sometimes turning on my computer, not let alone like writing algorithms that are, you know, adjusting, you know, indirect fire. And it's amazing what they're doing.
You know, it's amazing when you look at that team. You know, they've had leadership that had PhDs from MIT, Stanford, and now you've got folks that are actually have to compete to get into Carnegie Mellon, one of the most challenging programs, before they can even enter program. So it's a smart group of folks, and I'm just, you know, excited about what I see for possibilities for the Army downstream.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So what's been the most rewarding part of leading the men and women under your command? And is there a particular story or moment that stands out to you?
Yeah. I'm going to default to recently I listened to a change of charter conversation, which was a speech. And the individual I listened to talked about green light organizations and red light organizations. And I thought it was very, very interesting. And so you know, red light organizations are obviously those that when you give them significant problems or they go to approach, there's a red light, right? There's no getting beyond that. Green light organizations are those that there is an open communication between you and the individuals, and people are comfortable in their environment. They enjoy coming to work every day. The individual that was giving the speech talked about how there was one, you know, in a red light organization, somebody comes to work and they're trying to find ways to not come to work on time, right? And she joked about having, there's multiple Dunkin' Donuts on the way, so this person kept stopping at Dunkin' Donuts because they didn't want to come to work. I honestly, you know, I look back on it and I've never had those days, right? I'm always excited to come in and see everybody and spend time and honestly, you know, at the end of the day, know that the problems that we're solving are going to, you know, they're going to save lives when it's all said and done, and put technologies in soldiers' hands. And so in that aspect, just understanding the bigger mission and the cause for DEVCOM has just been awesome to me. I mean, I had early on one of Army senior leaders looked at me and said, hey, listen, initially you're going to pull a lot more from the organization than you're going to give. And I thought that was an interesting perspective because I was asking you all a lot of questions in terms of, well, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, but very much like what you asked me earlier about with the power of like the soldier is like, okay, now that you've explained it to me, you know, I don't have any preconceived ideas. I don't have the history. So why are we doing this? Or what does this mean? Or what does that mean? Or have we thought about that differently? Honestly, I'm not quite sure when the tide changed. Sometimes I feel like it just happened yesterday where I feel like I'm engaged and understand where, you know, things that are going on. But just like the Army often does, as soon as you feel like you've kind of got your mojo down there, they're gonna move you on to something bigger and better. But I think that, you know, as I look at that, it's you guys have taught me so much about acquisition and taught me so much about how DevCom needs to run and the power of in the superpowers of the people in this organization that I can certainly, you know, continue to be an advocate for DevCom well beyond this time. And luckily, you know, if the future holds, I obviously stay within the AFC or the Attack Command family, which I'm super excited about continuing to see some of that action and frankly advocate for some of the things that we've done to make sure that, you know, that we are connected with Army senior leaders. We are connected with their priorities. I think that's...
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So, and I'm about to ask you more about your future and what you're going to do within the command as you stay with us. But before I get to that, this is just kind of me to you. Hmm. So when you think, because I think about myself and when I got commissioned as a second lieutenant, of course, I was a ROTC guy. You were a West Pointer. But when you became commissioned as a second lieutenant and you went out into the world writ large, did you see yourself having this kind of experience in your career?
Yeah, absolutely not, right? I don't even think that I, you know, my goal in life was to, you know, obviously that next job and making sure that I could get there in one piece and enjoy it. And then once I got through company command, and I definitely wanted to lead soldiers. I think that that's something that I take a lot of pride in. And I think that, you know, I've always had the philosophy, well, if not me, then who? And so I absolutely wanted to get through company command. Well, then when I got through that, I was fortunate enough to have some really, really powerful leaders at the battalion level. So I said, you know, that's kind of my next goal. I had no idea the path would take me to DevCom. I am a firm believer there's a path for all of us. And I've been blessed along the way to be able to be put in this position. And, you know, if the Army was trying to build a Swiss Army knife, they've got it, right, in terms of who they've got with me, with my background, and now in an acquisition side, whether it be in the recruiting side, the TRADOC side, the force comm side, I think I've crossed every major command that's out there. And I'm certainly, you know, as the Army says, I'm a generalist at this point, so I can certainly tackle that. The irony in terms of where I've ended up is, so when I was a young kid and we lived in Michigan, my father worked at the tank automotive plant and was working on the XM-1 program and the Bradley fighting vehicle and all that. And so growing up, I was, you know, kind of seeing him do some of these things. And we had, you know, little posters and models in the house. And the kind of the full circle irony in terms of landing right back here to where, oh, my goodness, I had no idea that I'd be doing, you know, doing what I'm doing now. And actually kind of, again, going full circle to where, my goodness, you know, who would have thought I would have landed there? I consider myself, you know, so lucky to have spent the time here in DevCom and learned everything that we've do. And I, you know, at the end of the day, just like you, you just hope that you've impacted like one person along the way to make them, you know, better than they were before and impacted the organization. Understandably, things will change when there's new people in place, but if you've inspired somebody or at least kind of, you know, encourage somebody to kind of do things that are bigger than themselves and reach out and maybe, you know, provided a good example, then I think that you can kind of spike the football and say you did what you could, right?
I love it. You know, the Army's perspective of leadership in terms of be, no, do, and people remember you more for the be side, your character, who you are, than, you know what you know. I mean, yeah, you want competent people, but at the end of the day, people remember how you made them feel.
Sure.
So I appreciate that. So as you embark on the next chapter, we're all curious. I kind of know where you're going, yep. I think. Yeah. But what's next for you, General Cushing, and what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so right now I'm slated to go be the Chief of Staff and replace General McCurry up at the Army Futures Command, you know, soon to be the Army Transformation and Training Command. As much as I actually would love to stay here in DevCom. I mean, there's just like I said, we all, you know, the Chief of Staff in the Army and General Rainey have said, hey, we're going to move you. And so I'm going to, you know, surround that just like I surrounded this and throw my heart and soul into trying to be the, you know, best Chief of Staff I can. What a neat opportunity. And some people say, oh my gosh, you know, you're going in an organization that's going to be, you know, building itself and putting itself, I look at that as a pure opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
I think, there's going to be so many neat opportunities to be able to build that organization like it needs to be built and absolutely kind of build on some of the successes of what's occurred up till now. But there's going to be certainly challenges along the way. And fortunately enough, at least from, you know, my impression and some of the folks that I'm walking myself into, it's going to be, you know, just as powerful with some of the civilians that are working up in there as well. So hopefully just surround myself with the same super, super smart and competent folks and start tackling, you know, one target at a time type thing.
When I talk to them, they all say they're really looking forward to you joining them. And I mostly talk to the G1 and G8. Mm. It's the people and the money.
Yeah.
So what a privilege it was to sit down with General Cushing as he prepares for his transition from DEFCON. His reflections on the command and the achievements, the surprising lessons learned, and his vision for the future were incredibly valuable, and hearing about the people of DEFCON and the rewarding moments he shared with them really brought his leadership to life. So, sir, thank you for your service, your leadership, and for taking the time to share your insights with us today. We wish you all the best in your next chapter. Anything you want to close with?
Yeah, I am. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I know we joked about this, you know, your little podcast and stuff like that, and I still feel bad about saying that. But
you know, my mother said that all the time.
Yeah. No, I you know, it's hard to reflect on things when you're still kind of in the throes of things. And I've always been a firm believer that I won't crawl across the finish line. I'm going to run across it. So we've got some big targets to still hit down here within the next week and a half. And, you know, I've got an amazing person, General Rob Bourne, coming in behind me, and his reputation precedes him in terms of being an excellent officer who's super qualified. The folks that, you know, my buddies that are out there in the world and still serving in the Army, they're, you know, sometimes, well, majority of them sitting as division commanders have all, you know, recognized him by name, and he's coming in, and he'll do great and wonderful things. So, you know, two priorities for me is one, just obviously finishing strong and make sure that I can, you know, contribute as much as I can here for the remainder of my time. But then the other one is setting the organization up for success with the new commander. So he's going to be great. Obviously, you know, selfishly, I'm not going too far away, so I can certainly, you know, provide him any type of, you know, reach back that he's got along those lines, and hopefully he takes me up on that. But no, I'm, again, just blessed to have been part of this organization. I'm sure once I finally hand that guide on around the corner, it'll sink in a little bit more, and I'll have a little bit more time to reflect in terms of the things, some of the questions you're asking me. But, you know, I will always be super proud of, like, what we've accomplished and the time that I've spent here. Again, I, you know, just like you said, I never would have predicted me being here, but I want to thank anybody who put me here type thing at this point. So just, yeah, super blessed.
We appreciate you, boss. It's been great serving as your deputy, and I look forward to working with you in the future in the new role. Hey, listeners, if you like this episode, subscribe to the Cutting Edge Podcast wherever you listen. Your support helps us amplify DEFCON's mission to drive Army innovation, advanced defense technology, and empower our American warfighters. Thank you all, and be sure to check out the next episode of the Cutting Edge.